Morning, everybody. We're continuing with the Amira Le'akum and Meleches Akum, the prohibition of asking a goy to do things for us, as well as whether we can have hanah from what a goy has done. So just to summarize, very short, there's two things that we discussed that was also, number one, telling a goy to do a melacha on our behalf is prohibited on Shabbos, because the actual asking him to do a melacha, even if it's something he's not going to do on Shabbos, but ask him to do a melacha after Shabbos, is asur, it's amira. You're not allowed to say such things on Shabbos, you're not allowed to talk that way on Shabbos. Secondly, if a goy does do melacha on Shabbos, even if it is self-motivated and he does it by himself without me asking to do it, if there is direct hanah to my body, something that I have direct benefit from, then I may not have benefit from it. We gave an exception that the person is at home and a goy came in and turned on the light for him and he couldn't have enjoyed his Shabbos without that light on. It's not that he added light that was already there, but it was dark and now it's light. So true, that is an example of direct benefit, which one may not derive from what a goy has done, even if it was unsolicited. Nevertheless, you do not need to leave your house. But essentially, there's two isurim involved. Number one is telling the goy, and number two is having benefits, deriving benefit from what the goy has done. If it is not said in a lashon tzivui, there's no command said, so there'd be possibilities of that being mutter. We get examples of that. And if the benefit is something that I could have done it before the goy got involved. If it made it easier, then that is not considered a direct benefit. If there was some light in the room and he added to the light, so that makes it more comfortable for me, that is not considered as direct benefit, and therefore you can have enough from it. So those are the two main points we spoke about. Now back to the Amira, what you're allowed to say, not allowed to say, we divide it into three categories. Number one, we said, is telling a goy directly to do XYZ. That would mean a command or request to do a malacha. That is what we refer to as a regular Amira la'akum, which generally, unless we have the exceptions to the rule that we spoke about last week, is asur. there's such a thing as a remiza, a hint. A hint is not an automatic heter, because a hint depends on how it's told and what it's told for. But if a hint has a form of command in it, there's a form of action that is required, that is hinted to, then within the language of the hint, then that is considered a hint b'lashon tzivui. So if, for example, if you tell a goy, why didn't you turn the light off last week, and he understands that means I should be turning it off this week, but use the expression turn off. That means you've told him a form of action to do, where that action is also on Shabbos, and now you've told the guy to do it. So true, you didn't tell him go turn the light off. You told him, why didn't you do it last week? So that's already a level lower. That is considered a hint, another direct command, but it was said in the form of mentioning the malacha, and therefore it remains, under certain circumstances, asur, but it has more heterium than direct tzivui, a direct command. And the third category that we brought is if you tell it to him in a hint without mentioning any malacha or any explicit or even unexplicit, any mention of what you want to have done. And he has to understand it on his own accord. So then we would treat that as the saying of such a statement would be mutter to say. And now we have to deal with if the goy did carry out then your hint, can you have benefit from it? So if you want to go to sleep and the light is disturbing you and you tell the goy, I can't sleep with the light on, you haven't told him anything, you haven't used the word turn off, extinguish, put out, close. There's no command word used in your statement. Even if the command would be, why didn't you turn it off last week? Or whoever turns off the light is amazing. Or you just say an open statement like that, and he wants to be amazing. Or the lashon used in the pasuk is kol hamechaber ena mafsid, someone who extinguishes will not lose out. meaning you'll get some financial compensation for that after Shabbos. Those are the shyness of hint where you mention the action involved. But if you just said him, I don't sleep when there's light on, so, and he goes and he understands, he turns the light off, so now there's no problem with the Namira in such a case. You haven't said something which you're not allowed to say on Shabbos because there's no action that was included in your statement. But now the question is, can I derive benefit? Since you really can, a person can sleep with a light on, it's just uncomfortable, it's just not nice, it's just poor quality sleep, whatever. So it's not considered direct benefit by his extinguishing of the light, turning it off, and therefore you may do such a thing. You may tell a goy that I have trouble sleeping with light on, and he's like, well, what's it going to do with me? But if he chaps what you're trying to say and he turns the light off, fine, all good and fine, you can go and do that and enjoy the results. If the, in the case of the converse, is your house is totally dark and you can't even move around, and you mention to your Goyish neighbor, gosh, my house is so dark, I'm tripping over everything, and he comes and he turns on the light, so then you cannot do that, because then you'll get direct benefit, which you shouldn't get from his work, and therefore you may not tell him in such circumstances. So that is just to sum up what we spoke about last week. Again, the criteria of the verbal statement, whether it includes a command, whether it includes a request for action, direct or indirect, or whether there was a hint which doesn't even include a request for action, and he has to derive the understanding on his own. Those are the three categories, and then we talk about whether he can have a hanal from. So just to summarize and put us back into the subject, then we spoke about cases that would be even a direct amira would be mutter because of outside factors. For example, if you're dealing with a person who is a chole she'en b'sakana, someone who is ill, his whole body aches or he needs to lie down, but he is not in the situation of sakanas nefashos. If it was sakanas nefashos, then obviously life-threatening situations overtake every halacha, and therefore for Shabbos, you will do anything for someone in a life situation. You can even get a Jew to heal him. You don't need to get a goy. But we're talking about if a person is not in a life-threatening situation, but he is in a bad situation where it is all-encompassing or causes him to lie down, then he gets categorized as a cholish embas kana. And for him, you're allowed to do an amira la'akum. You can tell a goy to do malachos for him. So that was one example of an amira, a telling, a request, a command, where it can be done direct and straight and without any hints. Why? Because the underlying reason behind it gives us a heter. When you're dealing with a chodesh and a sakana, then you're allowed to do an amira, which under other circumstances would be totally asur. Here it becomes mutter. We said another case would be to save sifrei kodesh. So if you have chas v'shalom, a fire in a building where there are sifrei kodesh, you can ask the goy to extinguish the fire or to call the fire department to put out the fire. Obviously, where the firemen involved are not Jewish, because Jewish firemen cannot put out a fire just to save sifrei kodesh. They can do that to save lives. And that's why I want to mention again, because if you can never mention this too many times, if there is fire in a residential building, we call the fire department, even if the firemen are Shabbos, because we don't know where this can lead. A fire in a residential building has a risk to life, it's sakanas nefashos, and there's danger to life, and therefore we don't make our own assessments. We don't know where it can lead to. We call the fire department. But if you know for sure there is no threat to human life, and now it's only a threat to monetary person's assets and what he owns, and etc. So that's a whole different story. Whether you're allowed to do an amir la'akum for the sake of hefsid, we'll get to that in a moment. But sifrei kodesh, we said, was an exception, that for the sake of saving sifrei kodesh, then you're allowed to do an amir la'akum, and therefore you can ask a goy to extinguish a fire in order to save a mezuzah, if the mezuzah cannot be saved by taking it off the door, or if there are other svarim in the house that might get burnt, you can call a goy to come and put the fire out. So that was another example of the underlying factor would allow one to do an amira, which normally is considered forbidden. One example I left out last week, we ran out of time, but we will be now, and that is that if a person finds svarim in a place where they are liable to get damaged or ruined. For example, they were left outside in the rain, or they're left outside in a place where a car's going to drive over it, or swept away by something or other, and it's swarim. And you can't move it yourself because it is in a place which is a rishus harabim, and there's no eruv, so it's a public domain, and there's no eruv, so you can't move it. So then it's mutter to ask the guy to move it and put it into a safe place where they will not get ruined, because again, you can do amir la'akum in order to save Sifrei Kodesh. That was just to finish off last week's topic. Now we continue on other examples of what Amira and when and how. So, as I said, there's three categories of what you can and cannot say to a goy. Direct command, command through a hint, and a hint which doesn't include a command. A direct command is also, unless you have an underlying factor like Kodesh and Basakana or Sifrei Kodesh, which we discussed last week. Now we'll talk about a hint which has a command to it. A hint that has a command to it, generally, we say it doesn't help because of the command inside, and therefore you cannot use it. We did have exceptions if it was done on for a different time period, meaning than Erev Shabbos, you hinted to a goy to do something on Shabbos. You cannot tell a goy on Friday to do something for you on Shabbos, but you can hint to him on Friday that he should do for you on Shabbos. So you can hint him on Shabbos to do something for Moshe Shabbos. For example, if you're a taxi driver and you tell him, please pick me up on Moshe Shabbos, it's awesome. But if you tell him, last week I needed to go somewhere and you didn't come, which means that this week you should come, and if he understands that, all good and fine, that's a remisa with a tzibur, because you tell him about coming. So that would be mutter, because it's from Shabbos for Moshe Shabbos. There was one exception. Another exception is B'makom hefsed gadol, if there is going to be a substantial financial loss by not saying anything, then you may tell a goy in an indirect manner, even if it includes an action and a command, you may tell a goy to do something in order to avoid the potential financial loss. So an example of that would be if there would be a fire and there is no question of loss of life, chas v'shalom, so then it doesn't have the heter of pikuach nefesh to call the fire department, but there is a lot of loss involved. Person's house is going up in smoke, literally, so, and everything that he owns inside it. So we have an expression that adam bahul al mamoinai. If a person works hard in order to make money and buy items and fill up his house with things that he owns, and there is a natural attachment that a person has to his the things that he owns, and therefore if we force a person to give up that attachment to his items, he might in a moment of weakness do something that is forbidden, whether it's a moment of weakness or a moment of distraction. The bottle usually means that you're totally taken in, the person is so distracted by what's going on that he will forget that a chance. The pain of seeing a person seeing something that he owns going up in smoke and getting lost is painful, that he might forget that the Shabbos, he might go and take a bucket of water and extinguish the fire himself or a hose or whatever. And therefore we say Adam Bahur Alma Minor, and therefore we give him certain heterium, and we'd rather he should be over on Durabonim than Istim Chas V'Shalom. If we don't give him this heter, he might be over on Doraisis. So in the case where a person sees his house going up in flames and he knows for certain there is no danger to life, so essentially min hadin, there's nothing allowed, he's not allowed to do anything, but because there is big financial loss involved, so we say you may tell a goy to extinguish the fire in an indirect manner. This is over here, we're going to say in an indirect manner you can tell him to extinguish the fire in order that a person shouldn't be caught and by mistake or out of pain would himself extinguish the fire. What do we mean in an indirect manner? If you see a goy, you tell him, whoever extinguishes this fire is not going to lose out. He understands from that if he goes and extinguishes the fire, you'll compensate him financially or any other way. So then he understands that you've given him motivation, he understands, he goes. Or you tell him, whoever calls the fire department will not lose out. So obviously calling the fire department in a place where the fire department is manned by non-Jewish staff. Otherwise, you can't call Yidden to put out a fire that is purely a financial loss and not loss of life. So in such cases, you can do what we call a hint that includes a request for action, a command. You can do such a hint where normally you can't. Over here you can because there is a big financial loss involved that we're worried about how a person will react when we tell him to ignore the loss. It's going to be too difficult. It's interesting that halacha comes up another place in the Shabbos. The Gemara talks about hamachshich v'derech, someone who embarks on a journey and miscalculates, and as the sun goes down, he discovers he's still outside of the town, and he's still got his donkey with him and his wallet and whatever, and he's riding through and he's outside the gates of the city, and he needs to get into the gates of the city. What should he do? So in the strictness of the law, you drop your money because you're not allowed to carry it, and it's mukta. You drop your money and you leave your wallet with your credit cards and your dollars and everything else on the floor, and you carry on walking without carrying anything into town, and you can lead your animal in as long as you're not pulling him. So you and your animal go into the nearby town, and then you reach the Eruv, and then everything's fine, and you settle down for Shabbos, but your money stays outside on the road, and the next passerby is going to pick it up and enjoy the benefits of what you have saved up in that wallet. Therefore, Chazal saw that a person's going to have a very hard time if you tell him, do not take that wallet with you, leave it on the road. People will try look for heterim or be distracted to the point of forgetting the halacha. And therefore, Chazal said, we should find a way to allow him to take it with him so that he shouldn't come to take it himself. So there are various examples given. One of them is if you have a goy with you, you ask the goy to carry it. Either it's namir la'akum, it's after dark when he realizes, and he's now asking the goy, please carry my wallet for me into the town and put it down in this place. That would be a request that's asur. We say that that's mutter in this particular case. Or another example given is if he doesn't have a goy but he has a donkey, he should put it on the back of his animal, but you have to be careful the animal doesn't stop. The animal doesn't start. There's a whole list of rules and regulations of how it's done. Not going to go into that now, but we see that's another case of where Chazal tell us that we try to find a way out, try to find a hetter, at least, if he'll break a drabonon, to avoid his yetzer hara, which will force him to break a daraisa. Now what's interesting, the reason why I brought it up, is because it's brought in over there that what happens if a person finds money on the floor? It's Friday night, he's on his journey, he expected to arrive in town in time, and he didn't, and he's still got another 10 minutes to walk. It doesn't make a difference how long it is. And as he's still, it's dark, and he's, meaning it's after Travis has come in, and he's now sees money on the floor. Can he pick it up? Well, the answer is no. If he took possession of this money, then he can put that money with the rest of his money, just like the rest of the money he gave to the goy. So he can pick this up and give it to the goy. We say no. An aveda, you can't pick up and add it to your possessions in order to get the head of carrying. The Mishabura says maximum. The person sees a nice $100 bill on the floor on Shabbos, so instead of letting him to pick it up, he's allowed to kick it. Because kicking mukta, according to the Mishabura's mukta, because it's killed the gufay, and therefore you can kick it into a hiding place and come back after Shabbos. You're allowed to do that. But what would be if a person did pick up the money and afterwards he realized that he shouldn't have, but now that it's picked up and becomes his, what's the din? And the answer is, it's once something is yours, whether you picked it up on Shabbos or before Shabbos, once it's yours, we don't look at how a person earned it. The pain that a person has of losing his assets applies to assets gained through sweat, as well as assets gained through an easy way given to him as matana, as a gift. That's the same thing. Once a person owns something, it's difficult for him to relinquish ownership for in a way that's going to cause him loss. And therefore, all the halachas that apply to Adam, Bahul, Amamoyna, that we give heterim to break the abonnements in order to avoid a daraisa, apply even to something where a person might have won the lotto, if that's how he got his house, or he found a metziah on the floor, irrelevant. Once it is, then Chazal tell us the person is connected to his belongings. Another example of a financial, a potential financial loss that can be incurred, which we allow a hint which includes a act of command to be said on Shabbos in a situation where there would be financial loss. In other words, normally such a hint is not allowed, but where there's a big financial loss, we allow to do at least a hint. Would be, gives an example, is a person just had concrete poured. Concrete, in order to harden without cracking and to take on its proper form, needs to be watered, needs to be quenched, needs to be have water added to the drying process. So essentially, it's, drying process is the wrong word, it's the hardening process. Concrete, cement hardens as a chemical reaction. When you put water on with, when you mix water with the cement, then a chemical reaction goes into effect and causes the cement to harden. It's not the drying. It's not like you take mud, you mix it with water, and then you put it out into the sun to dry, and then it becomes hard because the water's gone and now you're left with a sod of earth. That's not how cement works. Cement gets its bonding and binding capabilities through a chemical process that is activated by the addition of water, and then it hardens even if it doesn't dry out. If you keep it wet, then it hardens properly. If you don't, if you let it dry, then it will crack and become brittle. And therefore, an important part of pouring concrete is to keep the concrete wet afterwards. Anybody who's done shiputim and added a floor anywhere knows that the kaplan will tell you, or if you will do it himself, that a couple of hours or a day after the concrete has been poured, he will spray it with water and keep it wet during the hardening process. So, if you did a yitzika on an Erev Shabbos, which we have said previously, this is not the right thing to do. If you can avoid it, don't get a yitzika done on Erev Shabbos because you're going to get yourself into a problem of what to do on Shabbos. But if a person had it done, whatever the circumstance, whether it was, whether he did or didn't, or planned or didn't plan it, or couldn't speak to the Kablan about it, irrelevant, but now it was done. And the Kablan says, if you don't water this concrete over Shabbos, you can say goodbye to it. We're going to have to pull it out and pour a new one out on Monday morning. So there's a lot of loss involved. It will be very expensive to redo the floor. So then you can get to a goy and tell a remes to the goy in order to wet the concrete. You can tell him, someone who wets my concrete will not lose out. The goy understands, oh, I should spray this concrete and I'm wet to Shabbos, so give me some money. So that's a mutter to say, because even though normally such a remes is also here, where there is a substantial financial loss involved in the absence, then we Chazal allowed us to use a lashon remisa. Now there's another. Okay, so that was, we spoke about amir la'akum as a heter when there's six chodesh heter zakana or a sifra chodesh. Excuse me, remisa as a heter if there is a hefsek gadol. Now we're going to talk about again amir la'akum, but the underlying Isser involved isn't only an Isser Drabonon, what is the din? So when we opened up on the subject of Amir La'akum, we said telling a goy to do something for you in a direct form of talking without a hint, etc., is also whether the request requires him to do a Isser Drabonon or an Isser Daraisa that is possible. However, because telling a goy to do something in itself is an Isser Drabonon, it doesn't say in the Torah that I may not ask a goy to do a melacha for me. Chazal said I cannot ask a goy to do a melacha for me, whether I can't rely on it, or ruin my Shabbos, or I might can't do it myself, whatever the case may be, why they came to make this gzeira. But I may not tell a goy it's an Isser Drabonon. When the underlying halacha is a drabonon, so then what happens is I've got here a double drabonon. I'm telling a goy to do something drabonon means I have a the Amira itself is a Drabonon Drabonon. It's a double or Shus to Shus, a double Drabonon. Is a double Drabonon mutter? So generally in a normal, straightforward case without any side reasons, we will say it's Asur. However, because it's a double Drabonon, we're going to be more maker. When it came to a single Drabonon to ask a goy to do an Isur Lacha D'Oraisa, the only cases we had were Choli and Sifrei Kodesh, sick people and Tzvarim. But when it comes to a double Drabonon, will be easier going, and therefore in a case of Miktsas Choli, when a person is not ill to the point where he needs to lie down or the illness is affecting his whole body, but it's only a partial illness. The person is ill, he's not well, he's feeling sick, but it doesn't take over his life to the extent that we call him a Choyle Shem Basakana. Mixa Choyle, you're allowed to ask Goy, but only to do a Malacha Derabana. So you can't get him to bring you medicine, you can't get him to make you medicine or to cook something, but he can bring you medicine through a public domain, which is a public domain midrabana, which most of our cities are today. They don't fit, and we've had this discussion previously, what is the difference between a Rishus Rabban Daraisa and Rabbana, to say it again quickly, is min ha-Torah. According to the Torah, a private domain is a place that belongs to a single person and is enclosed, like that a single person belongs to multiple people and it's enclosed, and a Rishus HaRabim is something that has a bunch of criteria. It has the road has to be a minimum of 16 amas wide. The road that you're dealing with goes from one end of the city to another. It doesn't have gates that close at night. And it has a minimum traffic of 600,000 people who cross this, who use this road daily. The last criteria is not brought in the Gemara, but it's brought in the Geonim and the Rishonim, and there's a big machlokas how to deal with that, and something that's not brought in the Gemara, but it's brought in the Geonim and the Rishonim. The Mishaburas note he feels that one should be Machmir. There are Achronim post Mishabura periods who disagree with him and say that the Roiv Minyan or Binyan, meaning the major majority of Poskim hold, that this is a criteria. And therefore, basically, any street which doesn't have a traffic of 600,000 people crossing it does not get a din of Rishus HaRabim D'Oraisa. And what does it fall into? We call it Rishus HaRabim D'Rabbanan. It's a place that you cannot carry in on Shabbos unless you make an Eruv. But were you to carry, there would only be an Issur D'Rabbanan. What's the Nafkamina? We don't carry when it's D'Oraisa D'Rabbanan. The Nafkamina is that to ask a Goy to carry something in such a place would be permitted if there was Mixas Choy. Therefore, if a person is ill and he needs something from another place where there's no Eruv, so you can ask a Goy to do it, because you can do Namir La'akum when the underlying Malacha is a Malacha D'Rabbanan. So that will be an example of what we call a Shvus, the Shvus, the Mach Mecholi, a double D'Rabbanan if in the case of illness, and it doesn't have to be all-encompassing illness, which there is so severe the illness, we allow a single D'Rabbanan. Here, when it's a lower form of illness, and you need a double D'Rabbanan. Another case that you can ask a Goy is if there would be major financial loss involved. So true, we just spoke about financial loss, but that was asking to do something which is an Issur D'Oraisa, so you had to use a hint. We allowed a hint in a form of commanding or asking for action. Obviously, it's not direct, that's what hint is. But here, you can actually say it directly if there's Hefzad Gadol, because the underlying Malacha is only a Derabah. Or there's tremendous need for what you're asking him, you can't do without it, or you need it for a mitzvah, getting a guy to bring you something for one of the Shabbos meals, so that's a mitzvah, or if a person had unexpected guests, and therefore he needs something for these guests which he cannot provide without the help of a goy, and if the goy is going to do it, there would be a malacha d'rabbanan involved, so you can ask the goy to do it for you. And the last case that he brings, that it's a heter to ask the goy to do something where the required action is only d'rabbanan, it mishpnei darkei shalom, if it means keeping the peace. Often that's referred to something as the relationship between Jews and Goyim. We refer to the darkei shalom, that you can do, you can tell and ask Goyim things that normally we would strictly say it's offered to do, but we say darkei shalom in order to obtain good relations. These things can be done on Shabbos. Okay, so in the few minutes we have left, we'll try and bring some examples to explain. But just one more thing before we go into the examples, is just to make clear, we're talking about that here, when there's a shvus, the shvus, and there's a double drabonon, the telling of the goy is a drabonon, and what he carries out is a drabonon, you're allowed to do a direct request, doesn't have to be hinted. And second of all, if a person could do the malacha that is discussed in a way that is mutter, but the goy who's asked to do it is going to do it in a way that's also, that also becomes mutter to say. So, for example, you live in a building with an elevator, and you want to, you have something upstairs, and you ask a goy, can you please bring me down my chair? So essentially, you can go, you can do it yourself, because you climb all the stairs, take the chair, climb all the stairs down again. If that's a possibility, then you can ask a goy. He doesn't want to climb the stairs, take the elevator. It's irrelevant to you, you don't have to worry about it. We'll see other examples of how we can carry this view. So let's talk about a couple of examples. If, go back to our case of fire, a house is burning down and there is financial loss involved, and obviously not life-threatening situations, one can never say that too often, then you can get a goy to take the mukta items out of the house. Why? Because you're dealing with a financial loss and he's moving mukta, which is an issur rabbanan. So you can tell the goy to take the mukta, save the mukta items from the fire, because moving mukta is something that a goy can do for you when there is loss involved. So too, if you want, if taking it out of the house means putting it into the street or bringing it across the road to a different house where there's no area between the two houses, again, moving, if the public domain that is going into is one that is only a rishus rabban de rabbanon, so then you can ask the goy to take your belongings out of the burning house and put them into a place where there's no eruv, because you've got a makom hefsed. If you need food for a sudas mitzvah, whether it's one of the sudas of Shabbos or any other sudas mitzvah that's taking place in Shabbos, and the food is in a place where you cannot bring it yourself because there's no eruv, so you can get a goy to bring that food. Here we're going to make a point that in order not to be part of the movement of the food, because when you move something from place A to place B, there's always two parts to moving something. There's the picking up and there's the putting down. It's what we call the akira and anacha. To complete a malacha, you lift something up, you move it through the space that is considered also to move it within a space of arba amos in out in shasarabim, or over the threshold from one domain to another, and then you put it down. Then that is a complete malacha when there's a pick up, move, and put down. If you only do one of them and someone else does it, it becomes a half a malacha, which is not also daraisa, but still remains also drabona. Therefore, when asking a goy to carry something from place A to place B, don't do the first part or the last part of the malacha. Don't pick it up and give it to him, or when he arrives, don't take it from his hand and put it down. Rather, let him pick it up and put it down so that the whole malacha is done by the goy, not by you. It's a separate aside on how you're going to carry out the thing, but the actual requesting of the goy, please pick up this part, carry it through the street, bring it to the shul hall, and put it down on the in the shul hall is permissible, because without that you wouldn't have something, you would have something lacking at you. So this mitzvah, so then you can tell a goy to carry this food through the Rosh Hasharabim, which is Rosh Hasharabim de Rabbanon, or the place without an Eruv, and get it to bring it for you. So too, if you need a Siddur, you're in a place where you need to daven and you don't have a Siddur, you can get a Siddur for you, so you can daven, or a Seif or something like that, but without it you wouldn't have it if the carrying is through a place which is de Rabbanon. Well, the 1 minute left, let's see what, how many more examples we can get in. If you find Chometz in your house, and Erev Pesach is Shabbos, or on Pesach itself, Chometz is Mukta, what can you do? You can ask the goy to dispose of it, to either flush it, or get rid of it, or take it out of the house, or for himself. But again, here you've got a mitzvah involved, and therefore you ask the goy to take the Mukta for you. You can, if you need a watch to know what time it's davening, or Sof's man, or what time your Chavrus is coming, and you have only one watch that's wrong, you can get a goy to set it. That would also be mutter for the sake of a minute. Okay, it's going to cut out now, so the next couple of examples will start off next week's year, and with that, we'll have a wonderful week.
Yeah, say it now, you can say it.
Yeah.